الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأوحى ربك إلى النحل أن اتخذي من الجبال بيوتا ومن الشجر ومما يعرشون سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Yesterday we began with a brief discussion of wahi. Linguistically, the term wahi means to inspire secretly. Secretly in the sense that the inspiration occurs, but the people around the one being inspired do not perceive it. That's what we mean by secretly. If you look through the Holy Quran, you'll find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually uses this word in several contexts. In all cases, the essential theme is the same, and that is that some unperceived means of inspiration is granted to some form of creation. Of course, for us, the wahi and the most important forms of wahi are that which had been revealed upon the prophets in general and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in particular. But for example, the ayah which I just recited before you, وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired even animals that they should take their houses in mountains or in trees or where people live. So in this particular case, or in this instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inspiring animals. And other cases through the Quran, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires the mother of Musa, for example. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in one place of the Quran. So in general, the term wahi refers to any imperceivable means by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides a creation towards what it's supposed to do. Now, for us, the most important form of wahi is that which was bestowed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that action or that occurrence of the wahi on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam occurred during the 23 years, give or take, that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was deemed a prophet by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then given the wahi. All of that began, or the essence of our wahi began, on one particular night. And this was the night in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was worshipping in the cave of Hira, which is located in Mecca. The Prophet ﷺ was worshipping in that cave, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then changed the history of the world. In fact, to me, that moment is the greatest moment in the history of mankind. On that night, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the first wahi to Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, four major things occurred. There were four major things that occurred on that night that make that night one of the greatest, if not the greatest, moment in the history of mankind. The first and foremost is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed His revelation, His final revelation, Al-Qur'an. Now, on that night, there were two types of revelation that occurred. two different forms of the revelation occurred. First, the entire Quran, in its entirety, was revealed from Lawh al-Mahfuz, which is the preserved tablet, to Bayt al-Izzah, which is the, you can say, the respected house. It's actually, the Lawh al-Mahfuz is a preserved tablet, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created somewhere in the heavens. It's located on the seventh heaven. And Bayt al-Izzah is located on the lowest heaven. Bayt al-Izzah is like a house of worship for angels. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the entire Quran and descended it from the seventh heaven to the lowest heaven in one revelation. The second thing that occurred on this night is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed the first few ayat of revelation from Bayt al-Izzah, from the house of worship of the angels, to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, as far as revelation is occurring, two things occurred on the same night, on the night of power, on that night in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was worshipping in the cave. First, the entire Quran was descended from the seventh heaven to the first heaven. And second, the first few ayat of the Quran were descended from the lowest heaven to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you page through the Quran, you'll find reference to both of these. And in general, you should recognize the principle that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of revelation, and He uses the term anzala, anzala yunzilu inzalan, that's a verb form 4 from nazala, to cause to descend. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the verb anzala or yunzilu, that refers to the revelation of the entire Quran from the seventh heaven to the lowest heaven. For example, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Verily we have revealed it, or we caused it to descend in the night of power. This anzala refers to the entire Quran from the seventh heaven to the first heaven. In other places in the Quran, you'll see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses verb form 2. Nazzala yunazzilu. Tanzila is the masdar. When verb form 2 is used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is in reference to the piecemeal revelation of the Holy Quran over a 23-year period. So, the entire Quran was revealed from the seventh heaven to the first heaven, and that's referred to in the revelation itself by anzala, verb form 4. And then, over a 23-year period, beginning with the night of power, the Quran was then revealed piecemeal upon the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is referenced in our book by nazzala yunazzilu, verb form 2. And if you just pick up the Holy Quran and you page through it, you'll see various times, various forms of the verb are used, and it'll all fit together when you keep this discussion in mind. So those are two great events that occurred on this particular night. Two amazing events. Because we've talked about wahi last night. And for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to write a book for humanity's guidance, and then for Him to choose someone amongst humanity to act as an interface between He and the rest of humanity, and then for Him to actually descend this book upon humanity so that they can be guided to their final goal and destination, that's something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is the only mercy that could attain that degree. And we discussed this in detail last night. So that's two major things that occurred. The third thing that occurred is that with this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was bestowed his prophethood, alayhi salam. Now, there's debate among the ulama as to whether the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born a prophet and whether he was a prophet before this night. There's no reason to enter into those types of debates. You can sit and you can read various sources if you're interested in such issues. But regardless, for the sake of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he was transformed on this particular night. And we'll cover the hadith in detail and you'll see how. So this was the night in which the Prophet ﷺ was bestowed his prophethood. The fourth thing that occurred on this night was that Islam was born. So with the revelation of the Holy Quran from the seventh heaven to the first heaven, and then the subsequent descending of the first few ayat from the lowest heaven to the heart of the Prophet ﷺ, and then the Prophet ﷺ's interaction with the angel Jibreel, his receiving becoming a prophet on this particular night, all these things came together to result in the beginning of Al-Islam. And so for us, there's nothing greater, because that's what defines us. That's everything to us. That's what identifies us and makes us different than any other type of creation in the entire universe. That we are followers and people who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Four incredible events occurring on the same night. Subhanallah. Think about how can there be a greater day in the history of mankind? That's why when I started this discussion, I said that to me, this is one of the greatest days in the history of mankind. Incredible amounts of blessing are being descended upon humanity. Imagine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy of revelation and that being descended upon humanity at that moment. Then the selection of a prophet. What a great event being descended or revealed upon that moment. The beginning of the deen, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's final deen, that being born at that particular moment. So enormous change is occurring. A huge amount of change. The whole world's history is being rewritten in one night based on what occurs at this particular point. This interaction and this change that occurs is beautifully described in a hadith brought by Imam Bukhari. And so what I like to do when we cover this particular event is to go through that hadith and try to derive lessons from what occurs on this particular night. Why is this night so important? Because change is occurring. Change is occurring to the nth degree in the history of mankind on this particular night. And that's why we're gathered here. Why do we come to gatherings like this? Why do we get together, take out a week of our lives, spend the money that we do, the organizers put in the effort that they do, the teachers put in the preparation that they do, it's so that we can walk out of here changed. So why not, when you want to study a paradigm for change, and when you want to learn the principles of change, why not go back to the night when the world was changed in a way in which it will never be changed again? Why not go back to that night, reflect on what occurred on that night, learn from the history of that night, and then try to inculcate some of those things within our own life so that that change, of course not to that degree because we cannot receive revelation and we cannot become prophets, but so that some share of that change can occur within our lives as well. That's why we cover this hadith. See, it's not a story. I'm not here to tell you the history of the Quran and the history of Wahi and everybody can make notes and then we can have an academic discussion, because that's not the purpose. Allah is not going to judge us and ask and test us on what occurred on that night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not stand us up and say, what does it mean that the Quran was revealed from the seventh heaven to the first heaven on that particular night? That's not our purpose in being here. Allah will ask us about our deeds. He will ask us about what we did with our lives. He will ask us about how we spent our wealth and our time and our youth. And these are the essential questions that will be asked. And so we need to make sure that when we study a hadith like this, we don't make it academic, but that we derive principles from the study that will allow us to change our lives. That's the essence of why I'm here. And I'm sure that's the essence of why we're all here. It's because we're hoping that we'll leave this place better than what we walked in. We're hoping that the diseases that we carry in from the outside, that somewhere, somehow, we'll find a cure for these illnesses. That's why we come here. And so that's why I think it's very important that we cover the hadith, but cover the hadith with the perspective of not making an academic discussion out of it, but in order to derive some principles of change. So in our deen, we have two sources of revelation, which we talked about last night. The first is the Quran, and the second is the Hadith. The Quran is obvious. It exists in its current compiled form, and we will discuss in detail, inshallah, how it reached the current form that it's in. But as far as Hadith are concerned, those Hadith have also been preserved in various collections. They have not been preserved as the Quran was preserved. Much more emphasis was given on the preservation of the Quran early in the history of Islam. But a tremendous amount of work has been done to preserve the Hadith of the Prophet ﷺ as well. We're not going to go into detail here, but suffice it to say that there are six major books of Ahadith. And aside from these six major books, there are numerous minor books as well. The major books are the famous ones that most of us have heard about: the book of Imam Bukhari, the book of Imam Tirmidhi, the book of Imam Abu Dawud, the book of Imam An-Nasa'i, etc. And the hadith that I will cover is one of the hadith transmitted and narrated by Imam Bukhari. Imam Bukhari is one of the most famous collectors of ahadith. He had some of the most stringent requirements before he would accept ahadith into his book. And his book is considered by many of the ulama as asahhu al-kitab ba'd al-Qur'an, the most correct book after the Holy Qur'an. So, the narration that we're going to cover is a very solid narration. It's a sahih narration. It's one of the most carefully analyzed and collected narrations, and Imam Bukhari himself brings it within his book.